Only holiness will call people to listen. And the work of holiness is not about perfection or niceness. It is about belonging, that sense of being in the presence and through the quality of that belonging, the mild magnetic of implicating others in the presence. This is not about forging a relationship with a distant God, but about the realization that we are all already within God. Good morning, God's beloved. I begin this morning with this beautiful passage from Irish poet, author, and priest John O'Donohue as a way to frame an invitation I hear in the gospel text. It is an invitation to remember the importance of what I will oversimplify to be sure, perhaps, and just call first things first. I want to start this morning by reminding us of the nature of the church season that we are in right now. This is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, the season in the church described by distinguished preacher and writer Peter Gomes as, quote, the season in which the identity of Jesus is made clear to all who will look and see. It is, he writes, the most important season of the church's year because this is the season in which we come to know who Jesus is, where he is to be found, and where to begin to understand what he is about, unquote. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but for years I have struggled with this kind of language. What do we mean when we talk about learning about Jesus? My perhaps overly educated, rational, need to make sense part of my brain registers a disconnect time and time again of mammoth proportions whenever I would hear this invitation in sermons, and even still, I wrestle and I do a kind of mental gymnastics to try to stay open to the mystery of what I know lies ahead and inside, if I can just get out of my own way a bit. So if you've never had that struggle, good on you this morning. But if you have, I want you to know that you're in good company. And I, for one, am relieved to finally find a spiritual community in which I can speak that truth of my own doubts and convictions, trusting that our collective journey will yield wonderful fruits and results. So I think this is a good time and a good day to wrestle a bit with who Jesus is, where he is to be found, and what he is about. But all of that, I think, is only really half of the picture of what we are called to attend to during this season of Epiphany. The other half of the picture, I think, is about discovering why Jesus matters to each and every one of us today. The other half of the picture is about discovering what it truly means to live as God's beloved. The other half of the picture is about discovering ways to live into what I would say is God's dream for us. And this morning's gospel does just that. Through this one particular story at the beginning of Mark, I think we can discover at least one way to respond to God's love in our lives. Remember that this passage in Mark comes right after Jesus has come out of the wilderness, has called his first few disciples to follow him, and together this ragtag group of about five arrive at the synagogue at Capernaum, where Jesus really initiates the next 3 years of his ministry. So how does he start it all? What does he do first? The very first thing that Jesus does in Mark's gospel is cast out an unclean spirit. Now, we don't always know exactly how to process the phrase unclean spirit in modern times, and I certainly want us to avoid the way it has been conflated with mental illness over the centuries. But from the passages in the rest of Mark, I think that we can easily imagine the impact and effects of this man's current condition. He has likely become a danger to himself and maybe to others. If he hasn't already, he will most likely be marginalized, ignored, or worse, cast out and socially ostracized. We can also imagine the distress of those who must have loved him, those in anguish over his condition, fear about his unknown future, and maybe even guilty or having a sense of hopelessness. And the very first thing that Jesus does is free this man from the hold of this unclean spirit, restoring him to wholeness, to himself, to his loved ones, and I would guess to his community. The very first thing. First things first. I confess that until I reread this passage for this week, I had totally forgotten that this is the way the gospel writer of Mark chooses to start his account of Jesus' ministry. You see, the other gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, make other choices about how they start telling the story of Jesus. But for Mark, this story seems to set the tone for what is to follow for the entire rest of Jesus' ministry. And I believe as such, it offers an important reminder for us at Trinity today. I don't think that it is too far of a stretch to suggest that we are dealing with some unclean spirits these days, in ourselves, maybe in our community, in our politics, in the world outside and swirling around us. The way I have been able to frame and define what that means to me comes from another John O'Donohue passage in which he writes about being prisoners of our own making. Listen to these words and hear how they might connect with your own journey or work that we are being called to do as a community. When guilt in relation to a past event or person becomes a conscious cloud over our lives, we are locked in a mental prison. We have become our own jailers. Although we should not erase our responsibility for the past, when we make the past our jailer, we destroy our future. It is such a great moment of liberation when we learn to forgive ourselves and each other, to let the burden go and walk out into a new path of promise and possibility. To learn the art of integrating our faults begins a journey of healing and wholeness in which we will regain the groundedness and find new creativity. Our souls, he writes, are more immense than any one moment, event, or relationship in our past. I have come to increasingly believe it is in that moment of letting go, of stepping out of our prisons, mostly, I do agree, of our own making, that we move forward together on a journey towards wholeness. Years ago, I was given a significant spiritual gift when it was pointed out to me that stories like this in scripture and religious language around healing are maybe more helpful if they are untangled from the conflation of medical cures or the eradication of physical illness or disease. In other words, cure and healing might be better understood as wholeness. Some of the most spiritually whole people I have ever met live daily with chronic illness and/or some kind of serious disease. I have found reading the stories about Jesus with that lens helpful and underscores Mark's message that Jesus came among us to, perhaps more than anything else, show and model, pull and push us into a new awareness of how to participate in our own healing and wholeness. We are made in the image of God, my friends, which means we are pure love and blessing from the start. And throughout our lifetimes, we have hurt ourselves, denied our goodness in ourselves and each other, as our confession has us say almost daily. In short, I hear Mark's invitation as both an individual and collective call to seek out and shine a light on all the various ways that challenge and keep us separated from reclaiming divine goodness, locked up in prisons of our own making. We will be better and able to embrace a radically inclusive way of being in the world when we figure out how to do this, when we learn how to have fierce conversations where all are truly welcome at the table, when we can agree on the binding element of what it means to discover our common humanity together as the starting point to forgive ourselves and each other. But for today, just maybe for today, first things first. Today, I simply want to encourage us to remember to look at each other with eyes of faith, courage, hope, and love, and to see and listen for the holiness found in our ragtag trying to do the best we can selves. Lives of faith do not seek or ever attain perfection, but rather seek out a path towards healing and wholeness, a place where all belong, where all are seen, and all can be heard. Only holiness will call people to listen. And the work of holiness is not about perfection or niceness. It is about belonging, that sense of being in the presence and through the quality of that belonging, the mild magnetic of implicating others in the presence. This is not about forging a relationship with a distant God, but about the realization that we are all already within the heart of God. May it be so. Thank you.